Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 37 of the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast. And the Dallas Cowboys have not ruined our weekend for once. How are you both doing, gentlemen?
Yeah, grand, thanks you.
Yeah, no, man, I don't know about the Cowboys didn't ruin our weekend because every weekend now to the Super Bowl is ruined because they didn't get there.
Yeah, it's tough because, yeah, I was... Mentally, for all the chat back and forth, I was mentally thinking, okay, we could get to the divisional round. We could get there. Let's just hold these weekends. Let's not book any family stuff in.
Yeah. It is a pity, but look, stuff like this happens. So I suppose, look, we're into off-season mode, and we kind of decided we'll have one of these round tables. So... You know, we're going to just try and talk about some of the big issues that are coming up. Mike and the guys on Thursday will also be talking more free agency. They'll be talking about what might happen in the offseason, who might be re-signed, who might be, you know, who might be coming back, who won't be coming back, that kind of stuff. And from next Tuesday, we'll be back with Project Prospect. So we will have a full slate of shows coming up, but we just decided we'd sit down and just have a round table, have a talk about what the big issues are for this season. So guys, I'm going to ask you first, you know, what is the big issue for you guys this summer?
Oh, where do you start? Coaching is clearly one, but we've obviously, the last few days, that has kind of taken its own path, because we know that Mike McCarthy's coming back. And then it depends on how you look at the roster, which is the most pressing need. For me, it's linebacker, then it's, but we'll see.
Yeah. For me, I think it's just an attitude of it's now our time. I think what the Cowboys need to do, due to the contract position, due to the frustrations recently, what I want to see is them say, that's it. All the chips are in the middle of the table. This year, we're going to be contenders. We are going to be ambitious. We're going to be bold. We're going to do what we say we're going to do. Everything that we've built is now time to turn in our chips and see what we have. If we are contenders or if we are perennial outsiders, I want this summer to be a summer of saying the Cowboys are here.
Yeah, and I suppose the biggest issue with that, obviously, right now we're somewhere in the region of between 50 and 20 million over the cap for 2024. And that will look, obviously, that's just an accounting thing. They will do a bit of jiggery pokery. They'll move a bit of money around. They'll be under the cap for when they need to be under the cap. But I mean, if we look at things in logical order, like, I mean, Dak is obviously the big red herring. Right now, there's a 60 million cap hit coming his way for 2024. And you have issues around Micah Parsons, you've issues around CeeDee Lamb. And just trying to get those two guys re-signed is going to cost you an awful lot of money. Now, re-signing them will also reduce their cap hits for the upcoming season. And we might be able to get them back in. And look, I don't think anyone wants to see either of those two players going.
Yeah. If either of them do slip away, or we have a summer of, you know, will they, won't they? You know, are Dallas trying to skimp on the money, or is there a chance of them holding out? It just sends the wrong message of this is how we treat our homegrown stars. So that would be disastrous in terms of preparation for next year, as well as how the rest of the league sees us.
I think I voiced my concerns last few weeks with you guys the one thing at the cap that worries me is it's the whole DAC situation, and this is nothing against DAC, because I mean nobody's going to turn down the kind of money that gets put out there. You'd just be stupid to do that. But he's on $40 million a year as it is.
Yeah.
The fan base, if you look across social media, is clearly divided, regardless of which side of the fence you sit on. But an extension is going to mean he's going to be around for a lot longer. And this is what annoys me about the NFL, is when they push a lot of the money back to the end of the contract, because then you get into this situation of, this is going to be what now, year nine? Is it 9? Yeah, it's going to be year 9. And next, are we any closer to winning a Super Bowl than we are? Could this money be better spent elsewhere? Is Dak the guy to take us forward? There's all these ifs and buts. But then it's also, then you're looking at the other side, Dak's the guy to take us forward. But then where do you then fit the rest of the money to sign a Micah Parsons? At some point, if CD Lamb keeps playing to the high standards that he is doing, he's going to need an extension.
Mm-hmm.
To be one of, if not the highest paid wide receivers in the league, then you've got to think of protecting your quarterback. We're in dire straits. We need a running back, maybe not just one, maybe two. Yeah. So that's the thing, and that's where the thing where the cap's going to raise every year, it always is going to do, and this is where it starts getting funny, because then quarterbacks are going to get paid more and more and more. I think when we look at it, does Dak count? The numbers could be wrong. You're looking at pushing to 40% of the Cowboys cap. Is that smart? And I'm talking about in any quarterback in this league. Should you? I know that they take a lot of the flack, the team leader, and a lot of the, when the proverbial hits the fan, they get a lot of the stick. But when it's a team sport of 53 on a roster, plus you practice squad players, it's a team sport, it's a salary cap sport. Can you really afford, any team be afford to be paying 40 to 50% of your cap to a quarterback?
Yeah, and we've seen this year just how quickly you do that, and then something happens, Joe Burrow, something happens, and you've lost the year. So it is all the all the something in the basket, wherever it is.
And to throw it like that, Daniel Jones, he wasn't lighting it up, but the Giants decided to extend him. Mm-hmm. And now they're kind of the backs against the wall, because you would argue that they need a quarterback. A lot of, when you speak to a lot of the fans this side of the pond who are Giants fans, they want the Giants to take a quarterback. Is that their main need? But who knows? But like you say, how many times do you have to go through the revolving door and realise we're getting it wrong, but we're still paying this guy because there's nobody really out there?
Yeah. And I mean, like, Lebarski, for anyone who's listening in on podcast, has kind of said here, we honestly need everything. And with where we are, we almost have no choice but to extend Dak. And look, I think conventional wisdom is that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, the point I kind of want to raise with you both, and I just to see, let's kind of play this out a little bit theoretically. If you look to 2025, the Dallas Cowboys have roughly $95 million in free cap right now. You're also looking probably at a new head coach coming in 2025. You don't have Dak on the roster, even though he will be counting against some of the cap for that year in terms of voidable years. So Rich, I think in our own private chat, kind of said, look, is 2024 a year for all of them to just prove it?
Yeah.
And show that, you know, you're worthy of staying around.
Yeah, I think 2025 could be a real hatchet year in terms of, and that sort of feeds into this idea of this is the year we've built mm-hmm. through the draft. We've really struck gold in terms of Ferguson, Lamb, Parsons. A few others have been more misses than hits, but yeah. This is the time where we say, time to prove it, time to earn the money back, time to do what we need to, or else there will be a new coach, a new scheme, a new direction, a new everything. I do think that 2025, I've never liked this whole running narrative of every year the Cowboys fans screaming, this is our year, because you never really hear it. But this needs to be our year. This is the chance to be a year, or it is a completely different franchise.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of is the thing for me, and that's why I'm kind of looking and going, are they already preparing for 2025? You know, like, we know with the drafts coming up that, you know, they don't have a lot of picks and they don't have much room to maneuver around in that draft. Is this just a case of, for 2024, we're going to play as we are, and if things go the way we probably think they will go, is that you're starting with a young, fresh roster, with a new head coach in 2025, with a lot of cap to work with. And it allows them to then rebuild.
And that's the thing. Unless it is an absolutely terrible year, the cap, the drafts next year are going to be where we are, you know, late teens, early 20s. So that doesn't give you much room to pick up a franchise-changing player like Stroud was. So we have to play, as well as we played with the draft and really scored big, we need to, you know, not think, oh, next year it means we can do a complete refresh and we'll bring in someone who can lead the franchise for 10 years. We probably won't, where we're picking.
Yeah.
See, when you say about rebuilding, that's kind of, for me personally anyway, the Cowboys and rebuilding are two words that never go together. The Cowboys we've said this a few weeks ago, Cowboys are the most expensive franchise in the world. While ever they hold that title, are held into high regard that way, the Cowboys will never rebuild. And it's frustrating in some ways because you see teams that rebuild and do really well. We do just take on, for instance, this year, the Lions. They've had a great turnaround the last few years. They've built really well. They've added well in free agency. We won't do that. If you kind of look at, like, just for instance, like the quarterback situation. So, like, look at it. The Cowboys signed Bledsoe, played pretty poor, and it was somebody that was already on the roster in Romo that was a undrafted free agent. Showed his worth, got the starting gig, and then Dak was drafted quite late on. And again, so I don't think we'd ever see the Cowboys in a position where we would be picking first, second overall to get a quarterback, because I don't think the Cowboys would ever be in a position to do that, because I would always sit envision as going down the road of bringing in a veteran, be a trade or by free agency, and bringing someone in to kind of blood in and take the reins over eventually.
But I suppose, Jamie, and this is kind of the kind of where I'm trying to get at. I mean, if you go into things this time next year, as we say, with 100 million in free draft space, you've all your draft picks available, you've your future draft picks available, and you say, right, we're going to move on from Dak. There is that ability for the Dallas Cowboys to kind of go, right, let's try and get a little bit sexy and, you know, let's try and trade a couple of first-round picks. Let's see if we can get one of the current quarterbacks in. You know, like, you're very much on the you don't think Dak is ever going to get it done. And I would counter that and say, you know, outside of Patrick Mahomes, who has got it done right now in the NFL? You know, so you kind of have to be careful what you wish for, but you also have to do something and make it happen. And maybe that's what 2025 is going to be about.
I mean, the Texans are an outlier because they have gone very quickly from nothing to contenders. You mentioned the Lions a minute ago, and they have had a few years of really smart picks and really smart moves and so on to get them to this explosive bit.
Yeah.
The other people, you said Mahomes, I'd add in Burrow as well. They have landed in just the right spots at just the right time. We wouldn't have that much of a potential just waiting for that final piece. And for me, Dak is always going to be a between 6 and 10 ranked quarterback. He needs to be not a game manager, but he needs to be a force multiplier of all the other talents that are in there, which circles back to what the question was at the first place. If you get to 40% of your cap in Dak, then he doesn't have those many talents to improve. If he is smart and says, you know, I want to be in the market, but I want the team to succeed, take a team-friendly deal, then there's more tools for him to succeed. And he doesn't need to be a number one. He doesn't need to be a Mahomes. The team becomes a contender.
Yeah. I'm liking this comment here, Jamie, and I think I'm going to throw this one to you. You might like it. So Lebarski is saying, you heard it here first. Brian says, trade Micah for a couple of first-rounders and trade up for that quarterback. I mean, you know, as someone who's in yourself, who's edging to get off that Dak train, would something like that appeal to you?
No.
Okay.
Straight up, no. Micah Parsons is, as he's playing at the minute, is a generational talent. You do not give up something like that, because you and it's no disrespect to anybody else on the defense, but you automatically weaken your defense because you're losing a linchpin of that side of the ball. But then also, no disrespect to somebody coming in, you then weaken your offense because you're now having to probably sit with a rookie QB for maybe two years while he gets up to speed. Mm-hmm. You let him get through that rookie year, and so yeah, like you said, like Craig Richard, there's the old CJ Stroud's been immense this year. I mean, like, how often does that really happen? Joe Burrow was, but outside of those two over the last couple of years, who's really coming as a rookie QB and absolutely lit it up like that? And maybe even for the first few years, we've put in heads, God knows how many times, but do I think Dak's going to win us a Super Bowl? No. But like you say, you've got to be careful what you wish for in terms of you've got to bring in the right guy, because if you bring a rookie in, is a rookie going to be able to get you over the hump that we're already in? And is it just going to be this constant, let's get knocked out, let's absolutely tear it up in the regular season, and then let's just brain fart in the first round of the playoffs and let's just pack up early and go?
So, yeah. I mean,
No, go on ahead, Craig. I'm going to come back to Lebarski's comment there in a second. So go on ahead with what you have.
I mean, comparing the, you know, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar out the picture for whatever reasons, but comparing those sort of second, third, fourth picked quarterbacks, you think of Tua, you think of Herbert, you think of Mac Jones, you think of, however many of them are littered around the league, and actually so many of the teams are moving off them now, Fields.
Yeah.
It's going to be the talk of this offseason. Whereas we picked one in the fourth round, and pretty much from the first year, he didn't need, like Jordan Love, years and years of development and soaking in and to do. Dak was, what, Offensive Player of the Year in his first year, offensive rookie of the year. So we gambling, as Jamie said, gambling on getting a generational talent is just is going to be up in the clouds thinking. Actually, we need to be looking at generational talent in terms of support pieces. And one of them is Micah. The other one is CeeDee Lamb. And those leadership that they have matured in the last few years is something that we should be building on rather than having to. I mean, we could get first round picks and then do nothing with them, or they won't come due in 2-3 years when by then, as we said, it's a completely different situation.
Yeah. So as Jamie was talking, my mind was ringing, and I don't know if Lebarski is in my head somehow, because he put in the comment I was going to put to both of you. And he says, as a devil's advocate, what has Micah done for us in the playoffs? A quarterback could make a much bigger impact. And it is the question I was going to ask is, Micah's done very little in the 3 or 4 playoff games we've had with him in the defense. You know, it seems to be a recurring thing with Micah is he's great for the first 8 to 12 weeks of the season, and then he tires. And if you look at the TJ Watts, the Nick Bosa's, you know, these impact players on other teams, they show up when it matters most. Micah doesn't.
I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, I was just watching the preview for this weekend's game, and they were covering Aiden Hutchinson's had 8 sacks in the last 4 games, including against us. But he was a number two, arguably should have gone number one talent. Someone like Chase Young, who went number two, kind of has been pushed to the side because he ended up in a weak team. So, I think there is an issue. I think as the season goes on, he gets more hits, which slows him down, which slows up his protection. I'd argue against that point, the Big Lebowski's point, though, is that out of the 4 games this weekend, none of them were really won by through sacks or through pass rush. None of the quarterbacks were. I think once you get to the playoff, the quarterbacks and the offensive line are solid enough that unless you have a complete fall apart, you're not going to get a game that's changed on a sack or a strip fumble or whatever else. It's changed by interceptions. It's changed by being able to stop the run, things like that. And that's not on Micah.
Yeah.
But then you can flip it though, can't you? What's Micah done? What's Dak done? What's CeeDee Lamb done? What's Dean Law done? What's the offensive line done? So then in that aspect, then it's get rid of them all because none of them have done anything in the playoffs. None of them have done anything in the playoffs since 1995.
And look, that's the point I'm trying to make, you know, is we can say, oh, we have to keep CeeDee Lamb, we have to keep Micah Parsons, you know, but it seems to be it's only Dak that gets when the shit hits the fan and we don't perform in the playoffs. It's all Dak's fault and no other players really get looked at. But when you look at the last 2 years, Mike hasn't shown up in the playoffs. CeeDee Lamb hasn't shown up in the playoffs. Our run defense hasn't shown up, and our offensive line hasn't shown up.
That is true, but then it goes back to the comments we made earlier on. But if you also look around everywhere in the league, it's a quarterback-driven league. Yeah. The quarterback takes the most money. The quarterback is the leader of the team. The quarterback is supposed to pick the team up when it's on its ass and carry it. And that we haven't had that. But like saying that, it's not just Dak's fault. Yeah. Everybody else has got to step up, but you look at everywhere. When a team doesn't win, the first place you look at is QB. Then you look at the rest of the roster. So sometimes we can be a little bit blindsided and we can have blinkers on. But yeah, this whole team, to be fair, coaching and management in the front office all have to take the blame because it's been nearly 30 years of mediocrity and absolute crap. The Cowboys haven't been since the last championship. We haven't been to an NFC title game since the last time we won a Super Bowl. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, you're right. It's just not good enough. And you're also right that the players should be held accountable because, end of the day, they are given a lot of money for their elite status and we'd like a return on that. But the whole organisation needs to be held accountable. And frankly, in terms of they didn't show up, I still put it down to that they weren't put in a position to show up. It was the preparedness and the scheme and the motivation, and that starts on the sideline.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it's something we discussed ad nauseum last week, was everybody knew what Green Bay were going to come down to Dallas and do. They were going to run the ball, they were going to hand it off to Aaron Jones. And we couldn't stop it. But a point here I want to bring up, just again, Lebarski is on fire with the comments and he's getting them in. He says, we saw the offense picked it up against Green Bay, but the defense couldn't pick up theirs. Sack could have put it back in that game, but we couldn't get a single one. I mean, I think that's probably slightly a misnomer, in that Green Bay did play soft in the second half of that game and allowed us to come back into it. But like, when they needed to, they scored at will. And I suppose maybe that's the point he's trying to make, is the offense did what they could, got us close and put it back onto the defense, and defense did jack shit.
Yeah.
I don't know about the offense scored at will, the Cowboys offense, because like you say, it was essentially garbage time by half time. The game was over.
Yeah.
I said it when I was on with the guys last week, and I said it to a lot of my friends into the NFL, that if you would have not watched that game and just woke up on Monday morning, gone on NFL.com or wherever you get your scores from, looks like again, you would have thought that game was a massive shootout. It was a playoff game that was entertaining from start to finish, and it won the scoreline, even though we got beat. Flattered us because we didn't play. So I think it was 26 points. With 26 points, we weren't a 26-point team against Green Bay. There was no way. If anything, it was a robbery that we got that many points, because like I say, the Packers just from start to finish were fantastic, and we got our ass handed to us, and it was more frustrating that we were undefeated at home for nearly 2 years, and there was all this hype about it. And we screwed the pooch. The one thing that really frustrates me that I can't get is how they can go from being so good at home for 2 years solid, and then the biggest game in that 2 years, they absolutely bottled it. It was like us not going to the park and chucking the ball around. It was just like we had no clue what they were doing.
Yeah, and so that sums up how I see next year needs to be. I mean, they had plastered all over the star, the sees everything, or what in Latin. That needs to come to life. We need from everyone, not just players, but in terms of free agency buys, in terms of using these draft picks wisely, in terms of contract negotiations, in terms of mentality on every single game. Needs to be, now's our time. This has to happen now. We've got the pieces. We've got the leaders. We've got we should have the scheme and know how to use these people. It shouldn't be a case of we're scrapping to get back into a game. You're right, Jamie. And the score flattered us. And in my head, I see it as a 42-16 loss or whatever it was, because those last two touchdowns, it was over. It was three and a partial quarter game and we were out. So we need a seize everything in everything we do now, or we strip it down like you said, Brian, and get a whole new system in with a whole new leaders and as many positions as possible.
See, when you look at it as well though, like and I'm going to take it back onto the coaching here. And I'll throw you a couple of examples. What I mean is it Mike McCarthy's just not the right guy. He's not the kind of vocal guy. Now, if you look at some of the teams that left in the playoffs, Andy Reid, very, very, very vocal kind of guy. The guy, Dan Campbell, very animated, very out there. You look at Harbaugh, he's very, very vocal. That's just to name three. And it's we just don't seem to have that. Like I say, I know it's not going to happen, but a lot of people, obviously, when it came up, was Belichick doesn't take crap. He's very vocal. He's very strict. It seems like that this team, that's the kind of coaching philosophy that we need. It needs to be very structured and very rigid and very regimental, because we haven't before. We really had that since Jimmy. We really had that since, oh God, Parcells, like you say, because those kind of guys were very outspoken and make it what you want, but that just Jerry didn't like it, or is it just it didn't fit philosophy of the franchise at the time? But ever since then, it seems like we've just had yes men, and I think that's where we're going wrong.
Yeah. And whereas I'm against Bill, I think he's a bit past it now. He's living in past records, and we've done that with Mike, living off his past records. Oh, he's got a ring, so he'll know to get us back there. I'd prefer someone of the Bill mold, who'll do all those things that we're missing, Jamie, but also bring in fresh eyes and a more fired up attitude. So that's why I was a fan of Vrabel being a pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, some of the comments here coming in from Joe, he said, I'd rather we start the rebuilding now than get our heart broken again next year. I mean, I think we'd all agree with that statement, Joe. Sorry, Lebarski had some. No, I'll come back to that one. But I mean, Craig, you mentioned it there about leaders on the team. And it was the thing that just stuck out for me in that Green Bay game, especially on defense. Who were the leaders of that defense? There didn't look to be anyone. You know, even like as much as Tank Lawrence is the leader of that defense, he looked frustrated on the sideline, you know, and it was just like, I've seen this picture before, I've seen this game unfold. And he looked lost.
Yeah. And I think was it the Lions game where Lawrence and Micah came out of the locker room so fired up, and on the sidelines they were that motivators, and they were charged on the pitch and really getting the return. And then for all his, I mean, it kept cutting to Dan Campbell, Campbell, and he's fired up, and he's, you know, when the flow's going for and against him, he's fired up. And then you've got Mike McCarthy, who's sort of just stood there, just watching it, just letting events happen to him. And that's what happened in the Green Bay game. The game happened to Dallas. We didn't make the game happen to us. Yeah. I'd prefer someone who is on the side. Like, they keep cutting to Dan Quinn, and he is absolutely fired up for his team, but he's up in the booth. If we had that presence on the sideline, on the pitch, then you've got a team that is burning to win, like you see in the remaining teams. We don't have that.
Yeah. I mean, kind of moving off, look, the Green Bay game and the performance play, or the playoff performance. I mean, what are the big issues for you guys heading into this off season? I mean, what are you looking to see happen? You know, give us a top three maybe each.
Linebacker, running back. That's how it does. Linebacker, linebacker, running back, and offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and put it in whatever order you want to put it in. But yeah.
Yeah. Running game. coaching change, mm-hmm. and or coordinator change, or you know, going how we go into the game, and yeah, offensive line needs a restock from start to finish. It is aging and creaking, and that will help the running game and vice versa. So yeah, agree with much of that.
Can I be greedy and add one more?
Yeah, of course.
A huge, mean, nasty run stuffing nose tackle or defensive tackle, depending on however you want to phrase it. In the kind of a mold of a
draft pick.
You know, sorry?
Was that not your 2023 first round draft pick?
Supposed to be. But yeah, someone in the and I know people don't like him, but someone in the mold of a Ndamukong Suh, of a Donald. I know that these guys are going to probably be high up the board, but when was the last time the Cowboys had somebody in the middle that, my God, just caused disruption and stopped the run? Could you maybe say when J.R. Arif was on the team, was that the last time we had a bona fide nasty run stopper?
I like that. I like it's time for Dallas to get a bit, we'll punch you in the mouth rather than we get hit in the mouth and start reeling. It's time for us to be mean. I like that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I agree with you both in terms of the nose tackle or defensive tackle position. We've spent far too long, and it's over a decade for me, since we've had someone, as you guys say, who will punch somebody in the mouth, you know, in the mold of, as you say, Jay Ratliff. I'm going back to the 90s and I'm trying to think of James Washington and Russell Maryland. You didn't run on those guys. And we've gone away from that. We're getting these guys, these athletic guys who can play defensive end, who can play a bit of hybrid and can play in the middle. And we don't have, as you guys rightly say, that run stuffer that just holds the middle of the line and doesn't allow anyone to run that way, that forces someone to run to the edge.
If you think as well, of the last, you could maybe say 3 years, how good our defensive ends have played. Now, and regardless of the stat sheet, just how much disruption that they've caused. Now, just think how much more disruption they would have caused, or even how much more inflated those stat sheets would have been. Would have had a bona fide run stuffer, because the ends have played this well, with all the focus being on them, because teams know that the Cowboys don't really have somebody that can cause trouble up the middle. And they still play that way. Now, to think if we'd had someone on the inside that could have taken some of that pressure away, how much more pressure, how many more sacks, game-changing fumbles, game-changing hits. It's an edge-catcher sometimes that, we're fans of the team and we're invested in it and all this kind of stuff, and we probably not as much knowledge as the people that are making these calls for the team, but it's like, how can we see these issues that they don't, or is it just that they just don't want to pull the trigger? Like, it's just an edge scratcher for me. Yeah. It's been so many years. Like, how many years did we need someone like a Micah we've said it for years, like, how many times we needed a defensive back that could be a game changer, and we finally got one? And it's like, every time we get a game changer in a position we know we need one, we then also need one in another one, but we still don't address the one probably on the side of the defense that we cried for years.
Yeah,
it's a good point, and I think you've hit the nail on the head with the reluctance to pull the trigger. The idea that something can't be developed at Dallas, but you know, actually, it could be out there. And that's where you spend your free agency money on, to get someone mean, to get someone proven, to get someone who can be a difference maker down the middle. And we just see time and again. I mentioned earlier, Chase Young.
Yeah.
He was snapped up for like pennies. I can't even remember what it was, but snapped by Bears?
49ers.
Yeah, that's right. We saw him yesterday night for pennies for them. And that is a person who hasn't lived up to his draft billing, but could be a difference maker. He is a force on the field. He is a personality. That's somewhere where we could have just made a quick mid-season change to address, as you said, Jamie, something we can see. We talk about every week. All the articles and all the analysis and all the shows talk about Dallas just get run on. And that's happened for years. So we know it. They know it. The other teams know it. And then, but we're not doing anything about it. And that's an attitude that needs to change. If next year is going to be the year, then it needs to change and say, no, we will take the best talent from anywhere. It doesn't have to come through the star. And we will make them Cowboys.
See, like, and just add on to that, Craig, as well, like you say, it's a great point. Look at the, and I know it's living in the past again, but if you look at the Cowboys of the 90s, and I'm assuming, say, obviously, we're not old enough to remember the 70s stuff, but look at when the Cowboys were at the pinnacle in the 90s, they knew they needed a disruptive guy off the edge. They went out and they went and traded for
Charles Haley.
Sorry, I don't know why I had a brain fart then. And then that year that they got beat by the Niners in the playoffs, because Deion Sanders absolutely just shut the offense down. They went out and they traded and they got Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
everybody knew. Jerry said that this team, he believed it could go far. He believed it was a title contender. Mm. Everybody could see, aside from the run stuff, that this Cowboys team needed a cowbell kind of running back. Cowboys didn't go out and get a cowbell kind of running back. And it's like, where's the mindset change that from that 90s teams of this team, we've got a dinosaur on our hands, this team can win a lot of Super Bowls. Going out and picking up players. I know sometimes it doesn't always work, but if you go out and you get the right ones, and yeah, they might be a haul to get rid of in a draft picks, but if you believe that your team is now in a win-ready position, like Paul always says, the draft picks aren't always nailed on. So why not just take that gamble and go get a running back? Yeah, Derrick Henry. Yeah. Bit of tread on his tires, but Henry would have been perfect for this offense.
Yeah,
could you have maybe got him for a second round pick? Who knows? But it's, you need to pull the trigger when, if you believe your team's that good, you pull the trigger.
Yeah, yeah, like, and Derrick Henry is mean to go back to what we were just saying. That, I mean, just to bring this in with what we were saying earlier, if we've got all this capital and cap and potentially a change next year, and if we are, would you be willing in this scenario, if we went all in on anything possible, we would bring in as the champions, we would do what the Rams did a few years ago, and we would do anything to win next year and go all the way next year, even if it meant that for the next 5-8 years we are, you know, rebuilding and restocking and everything?
Yeah.
Jerry will never do it.
He would never do it because
he'll never do it.
No, but
that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, he's got the purse strings.
I like Craig, I love the question. I really do. And just like, to be fair, Joe did kind of bring up the point. He said, just look at the Rams, Tampa Bay, they won the Super Bowl going all in. San Francisco 49ers are doing the same. Yeah. But I was just thinking back in terms of the 90s and what they did. They were ballsier in what they did, but they also were ballsier because they had a bushel of first and second round picks from the Herschel Walker trade, which they had in their back pocket that they were able to then move for a Charles Haley, for a Deion Sanders. They hit on almost everyone in those first couple of drafts under Jimmy Johnson. That the team was hitting its prime 3 to 4 years after Jimmy drafted them and left, and Barry Switzer came in, and things fell apart thereafter. You know, it was built on that. And, you know, I don't see Jerry doing that. I just don't. But I think they need to look at the San Francisco 49ers, and it kills me to say it.
Mm.
San Francisco 49ers make smart business decisions. Mm. You mentioned Chase Young, Christian McCaffrey last year. They had good running backs, but they said, hey, there's Christian McCaffrey. He's available. Kyle Shanahan goes, I used to babysit that kid. I'm going to get him in here and see if he can get me a Super Bowl. You know? And that's what it took. You know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are making smart moves. And that's what Jerry, Stephen, Will, and Mike McCarthy need to do, is make those kind of smart moves.
Yeah. We keep touching on the talents there. The time is now.
Mm-hmm.
We know what needs to be fixed. We just need that mentality of seize everything, but add in, I don't know Latin, but someone paints the third word, seize everything now. Now is the moment. Now is the time where the conference can be taken. Now is the time. It may not build a dynasty, but it breaks the drought. It makes these people winners. If Dak wants to then move on, okay, that's fine. But he moves on a champion. Cowboys are champions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hell of a thing to end 2025 with. Or
2024.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of some of the comments that have been coming in, I just wanted to bring them back up. So Steve Mountford is saying, we need a beast at linebacker, we need O-line strength, and an improvement in our run game. Lebarski has said he agrees with Jamie's position, but honestly, I think we need to basically get better at every position. We need some dogs and some players that are not going to get bullied. Right now, we have one in Jake Ferguson. Joe is also saying we've got Jerry's version of all in. We've traded a couple of fifths for some veterans in Gilmore and Cooks. And then Lebarski's final comment is, we also had a coach who could kick butt if you weren't playing up to your standard. And I think that's a huge point, is that Mike McCarthy actually needs to get his act together and start breaking some balls and balling guys out of it. You know, I mean, it's that famous comment from Jimmy Jones, go have some asthma over on that field over there, you know?
Yeah, but just to look back at what Steve said about the linebackers, and it's true. And the one thing that's really frustrating about the Cowboys, and this is no disrespect to the players that are like that, but it's like, why are we having these hybrid kind of players? This player can play linebacker, but he can play safety. This safety can play linebacker. This linebacker can play end, blah, blah, blah. Not just sorry, I meant frustration in terms of, why can't we just have a linebacker that plays linebacker? Mm. Why can't we have safety that plays safety? Let's chop them around and change them around and upset the team. The team needs a linebacker. Go get a bona fide out-and-out linebacker. Don't get one of these guys that can play here, there, and chuffing everywhere. I don't want a Swiss Army knife. I want a guy that can play where he can play.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and also, building on that point, something we haven't touched on is on-field discipline. I think someone shared some stats that we were second overall in terms of penalties and top overall in penalty yards given away. Not only would I can't remember who said it about would be chewed out if they did it wrong, but if you've got someone mean on the pitch and you screw up and give away a penalty, you're going to get chewed out on the pitch as well. So if we had a mentality of accountability on the pitch, then that would overcome a lot of our other issues, which is indiscipline.
Yeah. And I mean, Lebarski kind of was, as you were saying that, Craig, he was saying that, I hate to see it, but this team doesn't have heart or fight. They're not going to scrap if the game plan falls apart. They just stand there shell shocked. I mean, it's totally true.
Yeah, so I'm just on that. Like you say, it's you see this and it's come off the field, and like you say, like you're seeing some Jerry come off the field the other way, and it's like Jerry was pissed. Yeah, but Jerry's been pissed for the last 29 years coming off the field the last game of the season, and nothing has ever changed. Like you said, for all the things we say about this player, that player, is it a massive culture thing that not getting us over this hump? And it's like you say, there's not a lot, it always never seems like, even though some players say it, there's not a lot of accountability. Like you say, for the last nearly 30 years, it seems to be yes men. Like you say, and for all these flaws that people say, like, well, Barry Switzer was he was an out there kind of character. Mm. Now, did that not fit the scheme? Like you say, and it was, as much as Jerry's a great businessman, it's like he needs to take a step back for me from the football side and let football people run. The football thing, he markets his team great off the field, but it's like you say, and we all sit there and say, yeah, he technically is kind of the GM, whereas like where it's Will McClay, but give Will McClay the title, give Will McClay the room to build this roster. Don't say he's technically a GM, but then he has to run everything past Jerry, because that's just not how it works.
Here's the thing, Jamie, right? And I've gotten into this with a few people in the last 10 days. I mean, Jerry Jones doesn't pull on cleats. He doesn't play for the Dallas Cowboys, right? So there's nothing he can do about what happens on the field. Will McClay has been hit and miss in a lot of his drafts. He's had some great drafts. Absolutely, I'm not taking that away from for a second. But he's had some disastrous drafts. Our most recent draft, we didn't have one impact player from that whole draft class. You know, like probably our rookie of the year, aside from Brandon Aubrey, was TJ Bass. And he was undrafted. Yeah. You know? So you can't just lay accountability on Jerry and Stephen without going, well, Will, you know, you're really not, you didn't do your job last year, so you better pull your damn pants up in 2024 and do something about it.
Yeah. And, you know, Win, you know, sees everything now needs to be both a promise and a threat. Because, as you said, there is the prospect of either coming out winners, big winners, and we've got all the opportunities to do it, mm-hmm. or all of this draft capital that we've expended and all the time we've spent training and developing people, then sorry, if you're not returning, whether it's back office, whether it's head coaches, coordinators, players, yeah. stars, you know, you're gone. You know, we will make an example of you all. So yeah. I'd like to see them, you know, obviously I'd like to see them successful all the way through. But with people knowing that they've got to play mean and they've got to play fired up every game, postseason or playing sort of softer teams, because everything is on the line next year.
Yeah. Totally agree. I think just going back to the Will McClay thing is, but how much say does Will McClay really get? Does he get the final decision?
Will McClay runs the draft. Will McClay runs the draft. We've seen the clips. We saw the clip last year when it came to who they were going to pick in the first round. They had Mazi Smith and Matthew Bergeron. And it was Will that gave the final say on pulling the trigger on Mazi Smith. He said, we haven't had a defensive tackle rated this highly in years.
Mm. But was that his opinion? And Jerry gets the final say?
He gave the final opinion, and Jerry said, okay, let's do it. Like, it's not as if Jerry, like, Broadus is king of saying, Jerry doesn't pick. If you can convince Jerry, right, this guy who we're bringing in as a linebacker, he's Ray Lewis. If you say it to Jerry like that, Jerry go, okay, I know who you're talking about. I know the kind of mentality you're talking about. That's a good pick. Go with that. Jerry's not going to know the X's and O's of everything. And it's up to Will McClay. And Will McClay has been there for 10 years at this stage, if not longer. And he knows how to push Jerry's buttons. So, you know, if Will McClay wants a defensive tackle, he'll push the buttons that he knows will make Jerry go, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, not true. And then just to touch back on Chris, whatever that, not being able to, or not being afraid of making changes. That's definitely the mentality that this team is, and it's going to be a really poor example, but you'll get where I'm going with it. Like, look at Mac Jones this year.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick was not afraid to bench him, not just once, not just twice, but three times. That's the kind of mentality he did, and I know he's old school and that kind of thing, but that's what it needs. It needs someone that's going to say, well, do you know what? I don't care that you're Dak Prescott. If you're playing poor, I am going to bench you. I don't care if you're Micah Parsons. If you're playing rubbish, I am going to drop you. Somebody else will gladly take your snaps and prove that they're capable of keeping you out of the team. Let's say this sees everything and take your chances. Dak did it years ago.
Yeah.
Romo went down. Dak played out of his skin and fully earned. And as much as it annoyed me, because you know me, I'm a Romo guy, it broke my heart going out to Dallas and watching Romo sit on the sidelines for my first game out in Texas.
But
you just could not. You couldn't drop that, because Dak, I think when we went out there, by the time the game finished, I think the Cowboys were 9-1. There was no way building up that game you was going to put Tony Romo back in the team.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs. It needs frighteners putting up these players' backsides to say, yeah, you are the face of this team, but we have no problems replacing you in the drop of a hat, because, like I say, it's a results-driven league, isn't it?
Yeah. And we need results. Simple as.
I mean, I'm going to ask you both the question, right? And, you know, take your time to consider this, right? Let's say Jerry had turned around this offseason and said, right, Mike, we've gone 12-5 for three seasons in a row. We've fallen flat on our arse in the playoffs. I'm sorry, but we're gonna go another direction. I mean, who would you guys, or, you know, give me a short list of guys that you would have considered bringing in? Because everyone seems to be great saying, we need to get rid of McCarthy. The question that a lot of people can't answer is, well, who's going to do better than him?
Again, you go.
No, go on. I'll let you go. Honestly, I was just going to make a passing comment, but it's fine, mate. You go ahead.
Already mentioned Vrabel. I mean, there seems to be two avenues goes down. The Mike McDaniels, the analytics, the very the Rams head coach Sean McVay kind of route, or the chew your knees off can be quite comedic, but actually gets results kind of route. And I think, based on everything we say, it would be a kick up the backside look.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Lebowski mentioned Harbaugh. I like the idea. I like them saying, yep, we've seen success and we want success in Dallas. I like that mentality. I think that's what he was hoping for with Mike McCarthy, but the whole watching every inch of tape was a bit of a fib. Harbaugh would have been the real deal, but he probably would have wanted to come in with more of a clean slate and more of a, he wants to choose his guy for the next, if he's here for 5 years, he wanted to choose his guys for the next 5 years. So there's probably not enough of a, of a fresh start. So I think a Vrabel type proven bruiser, proven being able to handle the big moments, because the Titans got to the AFC Championship game and they weren't a particularly good team, but a lot of that was down to their mentality.
Yeah,
that's my leading candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I said Vrabel straight away. When, like I said it to you guys after the Green Bay game, that if we were getting a new head coach, it was Vrabel. But Jamie, you've had time to ponder it.
I've got four names, but one of them is more of a passing comment into why I would think. But the obvious standout, I agree with Craig and yourself, Vrabel would definitely be up there. The enemy. I just don't know how he's not had an head coaching job. I know he has had a rough time as OC in Washington, but that roster, no disrespect to it, it's beat up, it's patched up. You're going to struggle to get any results with that. But for me, Belichick, I've said it before, he's old school, whatever, how you want to pronounce it, but he doesn't set no crap.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we need. But another, maybe not so much the guy, but the build-up of the guy, if this makes sense, that it maybe even needs a Dan Campbell, someone that has played for this for this franchise. He's got roots in Texas, in Dallas, whichever way you want to put it. It knows that kind of thing. But someone that's got a bit of spunk about him. I mean, he's not a yes guy. He's not afraid to speak up when he feels he needs to. And, I mean, someone that's, just someone like that. That's probably the build-up of a guy you probably need.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, to kind of contradict myself, and he's, are you really going to get that kind of guy in Dallas? Because Jerry likes his yes men.
Yeah.
Although, I wonder where you were going with that in terms of who you were going to name, but it made me think, former Dallas player, knows the organization, swings to Jerry in terms of I brought him up from day zero, and yes, in a completely different context, but shows he can win in Texas. What's Jason Witten doing?
That's an interesting one. I like that one.
I knew where you were going with that one, Craig, but it might be a little bit early yet for Jason Witten. But I could see
where I break out my Jason Whittle bobblehead in.
And saying that though, so just to jump on the back of Craig's line there, because it's a good line. That's right. Someone mentioned it. I don't think for 1 minute he would probably get the job. B, I don't think he would probably want the job. But if you take how this coach instills great thinking on and off, great kind of the way you should conduct yourself on. They look what, and I know what Deion Sanders is doing in Colorado. Look what he did. What I'm saying is, I mean, in terms of what he expects from his players, not just on the field but off the field, that kind of mindset, that kind of everything. That's the kind of coach you need, and someone that demands 100% off you, not just on the field, but he demands it off the field. Like I say, just looking at some of the videos, and a lot of people say he's out there, and you know what? Yeah, but that, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like you say, look at some of the videos when he took over at Colorado. Like, just even as little as getting some of the... getting staff up in front of players and saying, right, you like look at the female staff. He's like, you address them as Miss or Mrs. and you don't disrespect them. That kind of mentality. I mean, like, you don't disrespect anybody. You live this certain way. Like, look at, there was one of the players, like, he demands when players are in the gym, they wear black socks. There was a player in the gym wearing white socks, and he just went, right, you put the stuff down, out. Go get changed. That kind of, you know what I mean, that kind of thing where it might seem very regimental, but it works, and it's like, I think that's a great way of probably looking at some of it.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Colorado went 6-7.
Yeah,
and six.
No,
it's a great short-term fix. It's not a long-term solution.
No, probably. I don't know if maybe not. Not for this coaching thing. I'm thinking more what structure this team is off the field, and then that, to be fair though, eventually Colorado will start winning games more than they are. But to be fair, he'll end up a huge school like an LSU, maybe a Bama 1 year, like some, I mean, on this, where he, what do you call it?
He'll flame.
I think where he instills just more than the football standard. So I was meaning more kind of the coach rather than what he's done.
Yeah.
So apologies if that got misconstrued.
A bit of the remember the Titans approach, you know, run the Cowboys like a high school team. You guys are here for four years, high school. Time to make your mark. And if you don't turn up in ties, you will not play for me. If you disrespect or bring some outside agenda into my locker room, you're out of my locker room.
Mm. Yeah, I'm saying that. And just to kind of think again, look at, he had the interview, didn't he, when he was at Jackson State, I think it was at Jackson State, wasn't he? His son was quarterback, and his son was late for a meeting, so he dropped him. Now, come on, that shows, I mean, that's the kind of coaching mentality you want. Like, yeah, he's my son, but I don't care if he's late to a meeting. He's a player, first and foremost. He's not playing. That's the kind of mentality I think this team needs. There's all this, like, saying when we went out there, we saw all this, seize the moment, blah, blah, blah. It always seems to be very good quotes to get everybody up. What was it? What was the one a few years ago, finish the fight and all this kind of stuff, and it's all good and well, and sells T-shirts and all that kind of crap, but it doesn't get the job done.
Also, just
to cap that off, in terms of pure looking after the money, Jason Witten's already plastered all over the Star. You don't need to redecorate if we brought him in as a head coach. He's always watching.
So just to get some of the comments, because plenty of people commented on that. Lebarski said Harbaugh and Vrabel. Joe said Jim Harbaugh, Lou Anarumo. Lebarski countered your point on Bieniemy, and I'm going to come back to this one in a second. I definitely wouldn't want Bieniemy. He also asked, did Jamie say Sean Lee? And Joe came back and said, if Dan Quinn leaves, like Gerard Mayo, the linebackers coach for New England. Unfortunately, Joe, Gerard Mayo is now the head coach of the New England Patriots. Lebarski also came back in to say Jamie's camera didn't like his choices, and that's why it flipped. And he wrapped it up with, fine, we'll get Witten as head coach, Romo as offensive coordinator, and Sean Lee as defensive coordinator. And Tim came in, wrapped it all up, and said, Troy for GM.
Hey, there's been a lot of chatter on social media the last few days of, would Troy make a very good GM? Would Romo make a very good coordinator?
I
don't know if it's just to kind of sit and cause some conversations on social media, but I tell you what, it makes you think, doesn't it? It's like, well, would the?
Well, apparently he was quite influential in getting Johnson, you know, the recognition and the Hall of Fame stuff. So the ring stuff. So it shows that if that is true, then someone with a winning mentality and an analytical brain who can influence Jerry might not be as fanciful as we think.
Yeah. I think that's something that keeps popping up every offseason. It's, How about Troy as GM? How about Tony as offensive coordinator or head coach? You know, it's like that thing, media and not refusing ink and clicks and all that kind of stuff. But a point I said I wanted to go back to, and you mentioned the name, Jamie, Eric Bieniemy. I mean, I don't understand how Jerry hasn't gone after Eric Bieniemy in a big way. I mean, if you were to bring him in, you're getting a conditional third-round pick on an Eric Bieniemy under that Rooney rule of bringing in a minority coach onto your staff or a GM or a coordinator. I mean, you know, it stuns me Jerry hasn't gone there yet.
I'm surprised nobody's snatched him up, to be fair, because look what he did in Kansas City. How often does a guy like that have to keep proving himself over? And like I said, I know he's not gone according to plan since he's gone to Washington. But how many times does a guy have to prove himself that he's worthy of a shot anyway, at least? Yeah. It astounds me sometimes.
I mean, the one thing that also struck me, gents, with both of you in terms of when I said, you know, who's the potential head coach for you, was that apart from Jim Harbaugh, none of you mentioned anyone coming out of college. I mean, is it just a case of you think the college game and the pro game have just gotten so vastly different that a guy coming out of college is not going to be able for the pro game nowadays?
When was the last time a college head coach went to the NFL and hit the ground running within a couple of years?
Yeah,
I'd like to know. I'm asking personally, just saying, because I'm not sure myself. It would be good to know. But there's, just to quickly pivot back, there's another name that I'd probably go for, but he's not available. And the Cowboys made a massive mistake by not getting him and paying up some draft stock. The Cowboys, 110%, should have gone for Sean Payton when the Saints said that teams were allowed to negotiate compensation. That made massive sense as soon as he, for me anyway, as soon as he said he was stepping down from the Saints, he was going to take some time out and then come back. The Cowboys should have been all over that. He was a guy that Jerry kind of molded to be a head coach for the Cowboys.
No, I don't want Sean Payton anywhere near this organization.
He'd do a lot better than Magic Mike.
I'm not doubting that. I'm not debating that one with you, but I don't want Sean Payton anywhere near here.
Why is that? Come on, you gotta tell
me. I don't think he's good enough.
Ooh.
And I've serious concerns about him as a head coach. I mean, look, what did he do last year? Jack shit.
Yeah, no, come on, look at that, Ross. That's no disrespect, but come on.
Doesn't matter. He did jack shit.
Yeah.
And look at how we treated Wilson in the end.
I think that I agree. He was grown to be the next Cowboys head coach. And the idea was that he would eventually find his way home. I don't think he's there yet. And I agree. I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan. I'm sure that's clear come across, but I don't think he's there yet. I think Sean Payton might be the future, but there are better possibilities within the league. I don't know college football enough to suggest who could make the leap. So couldn't say who.
And I'm gonna throw another name at you guys. I was kind of surprised neither of you mentioned him. Sean McVay. I mean, he's been with the Rams 7-8 years now at this stage. Maybe he's just getting to that point where he goes, maybe I'd like to try something new.
Interesting. It's splashy. It's a big media market, so he'd like it. And from what I've heard, he's got a strong influence in terms of his home life. It'd be a good way to open up some of the post-coaching doors that it sounded like he was leaning towards when there was talk about him leaving last season. Mm-hmm. He's got a good analytic brain. He knows how to bring the best out of a good to great quarterback like mm-hmm. Dak is. So, potential. What I heard about Bill Belichick is that he called up, I haven't heard it confirmed, he called up Jerry and said he didn't want to be considered because he didn't want a big market. Is that the same with is the Jerry factor putting off some of these talent like McVay who want to have more of a say and don't see Dallas as that way?
Yeah. Jamie, what's your own take?
They would definitely make a statement, but then you look at what it always comes back to, what's Jerry gonna give that head coach now? What reign does they have? Don't get me wrong, I agree, great coach, it would fit in perfectly, but then would we then potentially have a rerun of the old Jerry Jimmy situation from years ago? That kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Would we be reliving the past? It'd definitely be interesting how, if he came on the market. Like I say, he's still a young coach. I think he's younger than me. Yeah, exactly. There you go. So there's plans in place there, but he said, for a good long stint as a head coach to kind of really put in some foundations. I'd be up for it. I think he's a really good coach. But you've got it's how much is Jerry willing to relinquish, like I'm saying. This the whole thing with Bill Belichick, even though a lot of people put his name forward. I think obviously Craig said about the whole thing about the market, but also as he probably looked at the Cowboys and gone, well, he has quite a strong hold on what happens on this team. Whereas in New England, he essentially makes all the decisions. He doesn't really have to go to Robert Kraft and say, I want to do this, want to do that. Would he get that in Dallas? No. Would any coach get that in Dallas? Probably not.
How's that gone for Belichick for the last 4 or 5 years?
4 or 5 years, yeah, but over the last 20, how's it gone the last 25 years, though?
This is a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah.
Very true, but when you look at it that way, though, he's won more Super Bowls in the last 25 years than the Cowboys have been to the championship game, let alone the Super Bowl. So
Cowboys have been in 7 Super Bowls, Jamie.
No. In the last 25 years, it keeps coming back to that. What is Jerry? How much control is he willing to relinquish for the coach?
Yeah, and that's something that we heart of hearts know isn't going to change. It isn't going to be a case of Jerry is softening in his autumn years, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And whilst part of him does want to see his team and him lift the Lombardi Trophy again, the other part of him is creating an environment that may be putting off some of the key parts that could cause that. And so we get left with people who are happy to just stand on the sideline and watch their team get punched in the mouth. Because it's easier to control them.
True. Very true.
Right on the head there.
I'm going to give Lebarski the last comment of the night. He responded on Bill Belichick. He goes, we all know Bill's dog is the one who makes the picks. But gentlemen,
that's probably why the Patriots have had a rough time these last few years.
Rough.
dad joke slipped it in.
Some dad jokes brought in tonight. In there.
But look, gentlemen, it's nearly time for us to get out of here. So is there anything else you guys want to discuss tonight before we sign off?
No, I think we've upset each other enough, haven't we, in terms of making it even longer off season because we've just whinged and whined for an hour and a half.
Yeah, me and Jamie are going to have a very serious conversation once we get off this call. Craig's going to referee it. But look, just to give a shout out, Mike and the guys will be back on Thursday night at 9 o'clock here in the UK and Ireland, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 p.m. Central and 1 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. The guys... We'll probably be looking into free agency, into some of the contracts which are coming up. We did plan to have a little look at them, but we got sidetracked into some other things. But look, it is a good night for me. I'll pass over there.
I didn't hear that, but yep. Let's win now.
As always, thank you for tuning in, interacting across social media platforms and the group. Stay safe and be sure to tune into the guys on Thursday.
Good night, folks.